Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2013. Lecture 23, delivered on November 13, 2013. The title of this lecture is Common Stock.
Today, Common Stock. In this lecture, I am just doing some cleanup. Obviously, next week we will be having review for exam two and then exam two. One quick note about, I had a few questions about the quiz that's up right now. That quiz is just asking you to do a couple of net present value kinds of problems. It's just purely just doing it on your calculator. Just key in just like I did on the board. Find out what the NPV is. Tell me that. Tell me whether you accept or reject. And then also finding an IRR. Just show me that you can do it on your calculator, because that's what it's going to be on the exam. And I'm just trying to give you a little bit of heads up for the exam on that kind of stuff. I'll put up one more review quiz for the weekend just to give you some practice on some other problems that'll be very much like what you see on the exam. Essentially making it so that you have every chance you can to get a great score on exam two and then major in finance and then never be able to find a job. I'm there for you. But as far as common stock goes, this is just some cleanup. Is there some reason, who is it who is taking the markers, the dry erase markers? It just boils my bowel. Excuse me for just one second. Dry erase marker thief. Whoever you are, I will find you. I will. Yeah, I'll do that too. No problem. I will find you. I will wedgie you. And then we'll have dinner and dancing. Where the hell was I? Okay. You own stock in my company. There are 1,000 shares outstanding. And, okay, let's do it this way. Let's say that my company has 1,000 shares authorized. Shares common authorized. Okay? Now, in other words, what that means is that my articles of incorporation say that the capital stock of this corporation is divided into 1,000 shares of common stock, par value something per share. Now, right now, the company has 500 shares issued and outstanding. Okay. Now, of that, you, let's say, own 100 shares. What's your first name?
Kyle.
Let's say 200 shares. What's your name?
Greg.
And 200 shares to me. Actually, I deserve more, but I'll be generous. Okay, now I decide that I need to raise some capital, and I'm going to do it through an equity offering. I'm going to do the IPO of the company. I'm going to do the initial public offering of the company. Tell me why that's going to, why that will make you happy. Why would that make you happy? If I, let's say I am going to do an IPO for 100 shares of common stock, and I'm going to say, I'm going to, at, let's say I'll say, sell it at $10 per share. I'm going to do this IPO. Why would that make you too happy? It's going to make you angry in a way, but it's also going to make you happy in a way. Why would that make you happy? I'm going to go public. Well, that'll be something that always makes me happy. Yeah. What else, though? It means I'm going to list the, I'm going to get the stock listed. You would be, at this time, if I didn't say anything more, it's clear that this is a non-public corporation. You can't sell your stock just as you want. It's restricted. It's Rule 144 stock. There is no listing for this stock at all. It's unregistered. But if I go public, then I would register, obviously, the 100 shares, and I would register yours, too. And if I go public, I'm going to have to get a ticker symbol or no one's going to buy my offering. So that means that not only do you now have registered stock, if I register yours with the 100 shares in on Form S-1, but I also now have created a stock market symbol. I have to get a symbol, trading in the stock, brokers, so you could now sell your stock. Wouldn't that be great? As it stands, you're stuck with restricted stock. Who knows what this company is? But if I go public, then you can actually do something with your shares. So that's going to make your heart warm. Now let's talk about why this is also going to make you unhappy. Why would this make you unhappy? Let's look at it this way. Okay. We had 500 shares outstanding. Once the public offering is over, how many shares will be outstanding? 600. Post offering. 600 shares outstanding. Okay. Let's talk about before the offering. Let's talk about your ownership percentage. You had 100 shares of 500 shares, Kyle. So that would mean that you had a stake of 20% in the company. Right? Yeah, 200 shares of 500 shares outstanding means that Greg had 40% stake and my 200 shares were a 40% stake for 100%. Okay? You follow me, right? You're okay on this. But now, Madam, what's your name? Okay, Angela? Okay, Angela? You bought my whole offering because you just, oh, Professor Kring's going public with his company? Well, I got to buy this. I mean, he is such an incredible success. Or not. Okay, not maybe. Okay, but now the distribution is 100 shares. Kyle, 200 shares. Greg, 200 shares, Alan, and 100 shares, Angela. Total 600, but that would be mean that 16.7% was Kyle's, 33.3% was Greg's, 33.3% was Alan's, and 16.7% was Angela's for a total of 100%. Rounding, yeah, taking into account rounding error. Okay, look, what have I done to you two? What did I do? What did this offering do?
Reduced our ownership.
it diluted your ownership. Say the word diluted. Say diluted ownership. Now you sound butch. Okay. And for you, you say, it eroded my equity position. Can you say that?
It eroded my equity position.
Good. Now you sound really butch. Okay. I diluted your ownership. I eroded your equity position. Exactly. The offering actually carved you guys down. So what we have to talk about is something with offerings that we call preemptive rights. In other words, I have to give you two first shot, right of first refusal to hold your position in the company. In other words, I have to allow you to buy enough shares out of the gates so that if you choose to, you can remain a 10% owner. You can remain a 20% owner. I can remain a 20% owner. Okay? I have to do that. Now, I'll say, okay, here we go. You get first dibs. You have the right of first refusal on enough shares to keep your position. Are you game for it? Go ahead. In this case, what it would be, if I can work this out in my head, Kyle needs to stay at 20%. 20% of 600 shares would be 120. So, Kyle, I have to give you the right to buy 20 shares, because that would keep, of the 600, that would keep, is that right? Yeah, that would keep you where you were before. And I have to give you the right to buy 40 shares to keep you where you were, and I have to give you the right to buy 4, and I have to give myself the right to buy 40 shares. You have the right, but not the obligation to do this. And to the extent you say, well, I don't want to, well, then you're giving up the right to hold your position. Or I can't afford to. Well, that's tough darts. You had your chance, and the fact that you chose not to participate in the offering, exercising preemptive rights, well, there you go. That's just the end of you just chose not to do it. And then Angela can step in and buy up as much as she wants that you two did not exercise your right on. You don't have to buy all 20. You can buy a certain number, okay, and with your preemptive rights. But if you don't buy as much 20, you do erode your equity position somewhat. Okay, go. Can I tell you one way you can do it? Well, one way you can do it is just simply price high and you'll blow out your small-time investors. You know, really. Honestly, in a realistic kind of offering, you can clear out a lot of dead wood, because if you got a decent high price on your per-share offering, a lot of mom-and-pops aren't going to participate, and they're just going to lose their right to buy. Yeah. Did I screw up there? Wait, 120. I might have done my math wrong here. 120 and 2. Okay, don't do that to me. I so suck at arithmetic. I knew I had it wrong. I just assumed. Yeah, no, because the registration statement says 100 shares of stock. I'm registering a new 100 shares. I'm not registering enough to cover them and more, because if I registered more, then they'd still have their rights to take on more. So I've just got, if I want you to be a part of the company, I just have to rely on the fact that these two are not going to exercise their preemptive rights, or they're certainly not going to exercise all of their preemptive rights on this. But now, here's a couple of variations. Sometimes it's hard for me to remember what I've said in one semester and what I've said in another semester or something like that. But in offerings of stock, You don't always have to offer stock itself. There are other things that can be offered. Or you can actually, for like executive compensation, you wouldn't necessarily give a top executive more stock in the company. That's actually kind of a crude, blunt way to do it. One thing that you would probably be more likely to do is to offer warrants or provide as part of the executive compensation package warrants. A warrant is a right to purchase a share of stock at a specific price. So I might say, all right, you have chief executive. I'm going to make you, madam, I'm going to make you the chief executive of my company. Now, yes, please, $5 million, and you're saying, I don't know about that. I say, well, look, okay, fine. I'll tell you what, we'll give you equity in the company, but we're not going to give it to you straight up. Our stock price right now is selling at, let's say, $12 a share. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a right, but not an obligation, to purchase shares of my stock, of the company's stock, at, let's say, $5 a share, exercisable in 6 months. So what that means is you better not screw the pooch and knock this company's stock price way down. That gives you an incentive to work and keep the company from going to the toilet. And then in 6 months, you have the right to buy some of the stock at a decent price. Okay? Now, these warrants I'm offering you would be what are called in-the-money warrants. They're already in the money. You just can't have that money right now. Or you can have out-of-the-money warrants that are above the price, okay, of the stock to push you to bring the stock price higher, something like that. And these warrants sort of like represent hidden stock outstanding because you're going to exercise your warrants when they're exercisable. You're going to exercise them. So that's why you have to watch out for the outstanding shares when it's listed. A better calculation sometimes is to look for what is called full dilution numbers. In other words, if all the warrants and options that are out there with executives are exercised, how many shares are outstanding then? That could be a number that is bigger than the number that you're seeing for the outstanding, because it's sort of like all these hidden time bombs that are going to go off when executives or others who have warrants are going to exercise theirs. All of a sudden, oh, I didn't mention that I've got like 200 warrants outstanding. So once those things explode, then there are, of the 1,000 shares, there aren't 500, there aren't 600, there are 800 outstanding shares. It's just that we don't mention them now because they aren't real stock until the warrant is exercised. Tell you a trick with warrants. One of the things that I did when I was doing consulting, these were real small companies. I mean, they were like highly risky, very little chance that they'd actually succeed. And so selling stock in a public offering of them was going to be a real hard sell. Honest to God, I was up front. Look, we're going to sell some stock to your moms and dads, uncles and sisters and brothers and all of that. But past that, I might be able to talk a few brokers, low-level brokers, into making market in your stock. But they're going to want free stock to do that. I mean, these brokers, you should have heard them. Yeah, we'll make a market in your stock. In other words, they would buy and sell the stock. But you're going to have to, what do you got, like a 1 million share offering at 50 cents a share? Well, we're going to want you to make sure that we have a pad of 50,000 shares to start to make the market. That's all I have for you. Go home.